Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Sherry Heller. Dr. Heller is the Commissioner of the Federal Office of Child Support Enforcement in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And joining us in our conversation is Therese Morin.
Sherry, overall, how successful are federal, state, and local efforts at finding missing parents? We've talked about it in the previous segments, but in summary, how would you say?
Spectacularly improved and not good enough. I think I said earlier that we've had a doubling of effectiveness in the last 5 years, literally 100% increase in the number of people who have asked us for help and who actually get money in 5 years. And that is an extraordinary improvement. And there's a lot of families out there that their lives are different because this money is coming into them. On the other hand, if you're somebody who's involved in, for example, an interstate case where you're crossing state lines and the computers don't talk to each other, you're still frustrated. So there's a lot of work to be done. But I'm extremely optimistic. I think the listeners who are saying, yeah, well, this computer hasn't helped me any, should be cheered because we're determined. We're absolutely determined that everybody's going to get help from this system.
You've talked about how government at all levels works together, but I'm curious in terms of working with other federal agencies, who they are and how you collaborate.
Well, we have an extraordinary database that I described to you. We have employment data on wages for everybody in the country, not just child support obligors. And that data has turned out to be useful for people in other federal agencies. For example, the Social Security Agency. They want to know if people are not reporting all the income they're receiving. You know, they're getting Social Security benefits and they shouldn't be because they're also working and their records are messed up and for some or they're misleading people. So we do a match on a regular basis with the Social Security Administration. Last year, the Social Security Administration recovered $371 million from people who were getting Social Security benefits that they weren't entitled to because they were making more money and we had the jobs on our database. I'll give you one other example. The Department of Education gives out student loans, and sometimes they're not getting those student loans repaid because people aren't saying that they have income or they're misleading about what student loans they qualify for. Last year, due to our matches with the Federal Department of Education Loan Office, that department recovered $726 million. In loan funding that shouldn't have been out there. So between those two matches that we do with Social Security Administration and the Department of Education, that's about $1 billion of taxpayers' money saved. I do want to reassure the listeners, because we have this intrusive database, that we just don't match with anybody. We just don't let anybody have access to this data who might want to browse it. We have a lot of security protocols about who can see and how it's done. And you can't browse the data anyway. Even these agencies, the Social Security Administration and the Education, they tell us the identifying information, and we give them back only the relevant income information for that purpose. But every time a new agency proposes to use our database, it has to be authorized by the United States Congress. It's not a decision we make lightly.
What are some of the major management challenges that you see looming on the horizon?
One that's on my plate right now that I'm working on is a relatively recent phenomenon called undistributed collections. What's happening now that we can find all these people is we're getting these huge amounts of money in, and sometimes we can't then figure out who should get it. So, for example, if an employer used to send a check to Montgomery County and a check to Prince George's County and a check to Calvert County for three different employees, you know, that they took the child support out of each of those guys' wages. Now, they pile up hundreds of employees' wages and send one electronic payment to one child support office in Annapolis. Easy, right? Easy for the employer. All this money's coming in. It's all done electronically. Except what if the employer left a name off the list? So now we have a check for $156,000 and 26 names, and we ought to have 27. We can't figure out who gets how much money. And that money builds up a little. So nationwide, we have quite a bit of undistributed collections, money we've actually brought in, and now we're having trouble finding the people who it goes to or figuring out who gets how much. So a very current management challenge that I'm working on right now is getting that undistributed collections number down by finding the people who should get that money and getting it to them fast.
Follow-up question is, where do you see your office in 5 to 10 years?
I have two approaches to answering that question. What's going to happen really in our office? And then what's going to happen sort of in the larger cultural world, the context in which child support operates. For us in the child support community, I mentioned that we'll probably concentrate much more on non-wage earners for example, by intercepting gambling winnings and seizing bank accounts and so forth. I think we will make a lot subtler distinctions between, for example, people who ought to be prosecuted because they quit jobs and cross state lines and are evading their responsibilities to their children, and people who are low income and want to be involved with their families and would earn money and pay it to their kids if they could. So I think we're learning to make subtler distinctions rather than enforce against everybody the exact same way. That's really the cultural change that's going on in our office. In the larger world, you know, the general public and our view of child support, I think a couple of changes are going to be happening in the next 5 years. One is a big culture change, that is that kids need two parents. Kids need two parents. It's not just a question of getting money anymore. Depending on welfare or other kinds of government subsidies as an alternative to having two parents' income ain't going to cut it. And even if I might go so far as to make an analogy to what happened in the drug and alcohol field. That's another thing I used to do, manage a drug and alcohol program years ago. I remember about 20 years ago, we were treating a lot of addicted people, and people finally got around to saying, you know, if we could just stop them from coming in the door, it's more than we can handle. Why don't we start to teach kids to say no to drugs? Why don't we start to stop the problem? And the treatment professionals were saying, I don't know. They take treatment money away to do prevention work. But that's not what happened. We figured out a way to have a prevention program and an addiction treatment program. I think probably something like that will happen in child support. People will learn that divorce isn't good for kids. People will learn that having children out of wedlock is hard. You just can't get your own apartment and depend on child support or a welfare subsidy. And we will start to see the fact that you can't escape. If you're the absent parent, you can't escape your financial obligation because we will find you. If you're the parent raising the child, you can't escape the person you made a baby with because you're going to have to deal with child support. And ultimately, I think people are going to have children in wedlock and stay married more because for a variety of reasons, mostly because they find out it's good for kids. I think that's going to be a big cultural breakthrough. I do think in the larger world of technology, I spend a lot of time with technology companies for obvious reasons. I think when the history of the internet is written, when the history of computers is written, and people say, who figured out the correct balance between data sharing and privacy, security of data, and making good use of really extensive databases, it won't be Amazon.com. It'll be the child support program. I mean, when you think about the database we have now and what we do with it and how we secure it, we're on the cutting edge. So isn't that that's an odd kind of thing I would predict. In the next 5 years, whereas you usually have government trotting along after and copying what happened in the business world in terms of technology, now you're going to have technology companies figuring out how this government program exploited the data so cleverly without getting in trouble on privacy and security grounds.
You've had such a diverse career at so many different levels of government. I'm curious, what advice would you give to a person interested in a career in government service?
My basic advice is get in, start, get in however you can. Don't wait for the ideal job. You know, if you think you want to be an economist, don't look for necessarily an economics job. Get a research assistant's job. Get a database job. Get in and start. Once you are in government, you'll get a lot more realistic about where you belong. And it's a lot easier to move around once you've started. The other thing I would say, it's a good time to get involved in public service. It's the best time in my 20 plus years. There is more optimism, less cynicism, more hope for the effectiveness of public servants than at any time I can remember. And so it's a great time to get in, both because people want you to succeed and because once you've started and you figure out how it really works, that it's about financial incentives and not about politics, that it's about protecting privacy and not political turf battles. I think that you become less cynical, not more cynical, once you've been in a career in public service and see how it really works.
That's a good ending point. I'm afraid we're out of time, Sherry. Therese and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
It's my pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Sherry Heller. Sherry's the Commissioner of the Federal Office of Child Support Enforcement in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.